to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 181, a Venturini Motorsports bonus episode 181. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all are having a great week. It has been a very busy week over here, both with the actual real job and the show. Tuesday morning, I wasn't sure if I was going to have anyone on the show, and within an hour, things worked out to be able to have a bonus show this week, which is awesome. I love giving and doing extra content, this is the second bonus show during the quarantine, so who says there's not content out there? I would disagree. Bonus show tonight, a Venturini Motorsports special. Two awesome up-and-coming young talented drivers with Venturini Motorsports, Drew Dollar, Mason Diaz. I'm very excited to talk to these guys. Both have very different racing backgrounds, which is going to be cool to hear their stories and how they've come to be teammates together. Going to have some fun with them, all that good stuff. So stick around. If you missed Tuesday's show, Noah Gregson called in. He was an absolute blast to talk to. Great time with him. Talked about his Daytona win, setting the Daytona track on fire. And it's crazy. You know, he won in February. It's May. But that was just four races ago due to these unprecedented times. We talked life out in Las Vegas and how crazy the strip looks deserted. Go check that out. Episode 180 from Tuesday if you haven't already done so. And Lap Traffic Nation, things have been busy. I've been working a lot behind the scenes to upgrade the social media content and aspect of the show. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later on in between the two interviews, kind of tell you what you may have already noticed, some changes on social media. And I got to tell you, after tonight, it's only going to get better because the next 2 weeks, they are themed as well. It's an MRN radio theme for the next couple of weeks. Next week, I thought it would be fitting to have Jeff Striegel back on the show. You guys know how much I love talking to Jeff. I genuinely believe Jeff loves coming on the show. He's been on, I think this is going to be either his 9th or 10th time on the show next week. And Jeff called in and we talked after the West Coast swing. You know, I thought, cool, all right, we've got a sample of four races into 2020. Let's get Jeff on. We'll talk. And we did. And we prepped and we talked like we were going to Atlanta. And 2 days after that show is when things hit the fan. So I thought it would be fitting to get him back on as we're getting ready to go back racing at Darlington. And, you know, Jeff normally comes on a couple times a year during the MIS bonus shows. Both of us are from Michigan. You know, it's perfect. It writes itself. Well, it's not looking like the June MIS special is going to happen or anything like that. So figured get Jeff on now. Perfect time to get him back on. And then the following week, to recap, our first action back on the track will be Alex Hayden from MRN. So I am so excited to get Alex on, extend the MRN lap traffic relationship. Absolutely stoked for the next couple weeks. But back to tonight's Venturini special. I think it's awesome, like I said, to get some guys that might not be household names yet to hear some different steps taken to get to this next level that these guys have taken. It's going to be fun. Let's get things rolling. Let's get this Venturini Motorsports special. That is a tongue twister, let me tell you. Let's get Drew Dollar on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the driver of the number 15 with Venturini Motorsports. He's competed in Bandolero, Legends, K&N, just to name a few. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Drew Dollar. Sir, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Awesome, man. Thanks for calling into the show on this weird season, right? Quarantine, all that good stuff. What you been up to, man?
Yeah, I've been back home in Atlanta. I had been living in Charlotte before this whole thing hit. So I've just been back home with my family in Atlanta, working out at least once a day, you know, trying to get out of the house maybe for a run every day or so, and walking my dog. But other than that, not much. Playing some iRacing too.
Glad you mentioned that. We'll get to that. I did a little homework on you. I see you're a tennis fan. Have you hit the tennis court at all?
I actually haven't, because our tennis courts that we usually go to have been shut down. So I think they're opening back up here. I think Georgia's supposed to be opening back up this week, but probably still going to stay in. Don't want to get out too much still.
We're up here in Michigan, right? And Michigan's still pretty locked down, pretty tight. As of last weekend, you couldn't go into Home Depot or Lowe's and go to the Home and Gardening Center, but this past weekend they opened that up. So the wife's been dying to get some flowers and stuff into the ground, you know. So we went out and you know, put the masks on and ventured out for a half hour, 45 minutes. But, you know, we work from home, which is cool. So we didn't impact too much. But like you know, if you got at a moment's notice show up at the racetrack with 500 people there, then that's obviously going to be a greater threat if you were to step outside a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm just trying to stay safe. I don't want to, you know, obviously I don't want to get myself, and if I do have it, I don't want to spread it. So yeah. It's so many unknowns, better safe than sorry.
100%. Have you done like the social distance Zoom happy hours with the friends or anything like that?
So actually the gym that I work out at up in Charlotte, which is the Toyota gym, all of us, all the people who work out there, you know, all the drivers who race Toyotas pretty much, we've all been in the same Zoom together, kind of having like meetings like we would normally do in the gym, but because we can't go in, we're just having to do it all virtually. So that's kind of been what we've been doing.
That's awesome. Drew, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, your racing background. You know, ARCA, I think is starting to become a lot more of a household name, but I still think it's an undiscovered series from a lot of the racing community out there. So, you know, give your elevator pitch. What got you to the ARCA series, man?
Right. So this year I'm running full-time ARCA with Venturini. Last season I ran part-time ARCA, ran a few races in ARCA, ran a good bit of late model stock races on the Cars Tour, just kind of getting me ready for full season ARCA. And the 2 years previous to that, I ran Legend Cars, and that's all the experience I have. So started when I was about 15 or so years old in the Legends for 2 years, running between, you know, Atlanta and Charlotte back and forth all the time. And then, you know, got to some other racetracks, but main thing was Legends for 2 years. And then last year, you know, like I said, the late models and a little bit of ARCA stuff came in at the time. And then this year it's time to go ARCA racing.
That's awesome. So, you know, it's funny, of the last few years I've done this and talked to some of the younger and up and coming drivers, you know, I've talked to some that have started when they were 5 and 6 years old in go-karts, and some like you that got to start at 15. What around that, mid adolescent age was it that was like, I want to get in a car?
Yeah, that's actually a hard question to answer because I don't really know myself. I think it was obviously 100% my decision. A lot of kids getting a quarter midget before they even, you know, can make that decision for themselves. Sure. So for me, it was really 100% my decision and asking my dad if I could get into a legend car. And it was kind of hard to convince him to allow me to, but eventually we got into it and he just let me do what I want to do now. But, yeah, I guess I had seen some of it. I'd kind of been around the racetrack a little bit. With my grandparents, I remember going to Atlanta Motor Speedway when I was younger and just seeing a little bit of that, some of the races down there. So I think that's kind of how I was exposed to it. But other than that, my family's never been in it at all.
That's crazy.
I don't even think awesome, my parents. Man. Yeah, it's different. It's cool,
so you
though.
Didn't
but
grow up watching Gordon on TV, you know, like, you know, did you?
Yeah.
You said your grandparents there. So, like, did you get to many NASCAR races at AMS or Charlotte over the years growing up, or
not really?
I've
been at a few of them, but really none that I could remember. I couldn't tell you like the winners or any of the specific racers I remember running in them. But one of the things I remember, I guess, growing up little, you know, I was born in 2000. So I don't know, whenever Buckshot was running, that would have been like early 2000s. My dad was actually fraternity brothers at UGA. the University of Georgia with Buckshot. So my dad watched some of the races because of that, just because he wanted to watch, you know, one of his fraternity brothers. But that was a little bit that I had also seen. But other than that, family was never big motorsports fans. I think they're now into it a little bit more, but they were never, we were never sitting down every Sunday and watching NASCAR races earlier.
And that's, you know, that's you're unique with that, right? Because normally it's the exact opposite. So that's awesome that you've been able to come this far with not having like that, you know, at the track, you know, local dirt track, whatever it may be. That's really cool. And you, 2000s, you are a youngin. You got a birthday coming up too, don't you? Here, so,
well, December. December. Yeah.
Okay. you mentioned Atlanta. Some good friends of mine, the PETM podcast, are based out of Atlanta. I actually went down to AMS last year, and we hung out and we watched the Legends and the Bandolero series. That was pretty fun racing watching those race around that bull ring there.
Yeah, it's a cool track, and it's definitely a lot of fun. I mean, I was just racing out there, it would have been 2 years ago now or something like that. So really not that long ago. And I still know a bunch of guys who still run the Legend cars. So
do you know Jensen Jorgensen?
I actually do. Yeah. I never raced around him too much. You know, he started racing before I did, and then he's still running some of the Legend cars, but yeah, I know him. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Quick story, the PETM podcast, they have a Patreon account that their listeners can subscribe and donate to. And the last couple years, they have taken that money because they've gotten to know Jensen over the years. So the PETM podcast sponsors Jensen's car. So it was cool to see them race and all that down there. So that was really cool.
Yeah, he's a good racer for sure. I remember he was running pro class when I was just beginning. So he did, and especially around Atlanta Motor Speedway, he knows how to get around there.
That's awesome. You took over the 15 ride at Venturini from Christian Eckes, who I had the privilege of talking to a couple times last year. You know, pretty big seat to fill coming off winning the ARCA championship there. What was that like? Did you get to talk to him? Did he give you any, you know, any pointers or anything like that in the off season?
Yeah, I've talked to him for sure, especially in and out of the Toyota gym up there in Charlotte. But, you know, he just gives me some pointers. Like, you know, a lot of these tracks I'll be going to this year, I've never seen, and they're tracks that he's raced at least twice now, most of them. So he's definitely going to be a good resource to be able to talk to. And, you know, he knows how the Venturini team works. So he also gives me some, you know, good tips from his experience. It's not just that he ran ARCA, it's that he ran with the team. So it's good to be able to have him to talk to about the stuff, but definitely big shoes to fill in the 15 car, but I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So how did, full-time this year, Venturini, you know, how did that all come together? You transitioning from Legends at Atlanta to a full-time ride with Venturini Motorsports.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, last year I had run some of the late model stuff along with some of the K&N and ARCA stuff. So like my last race I ran last year, I think was Phoenix, and that was kind of preparing me for this year. And also I ran a mile and a half race at Kansas, which would have been the ARCA finale. So getting those races in just to prepare me to run this year. And then I really wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do this year. Figured we would go full-time ARCA racing, but it wasn't quite sure where. And then once the Venturini opportunity came available, you know, that was really the best opportunity I had. I mean, it's the best opportunity anyone could have, going to the championship team from the year before.
Absolutely.
And winning over 75% of the races, or about 75% of the races. So really the strongest team in ARCA last year, they dominated it. So definitely a good opportunity to go.
That's awesome. So let's, I mean, it's such a unique circumstance this year, right? With the whole quarantine and all that kind of stuff, you know, couple races only in the ARCA series, you know, what's your experience like been so far in 2020? What's this downtime been like with the team? You know, how has this all come together for you? And I mean, you guys don't even know when you're going back racing yet.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't know when we're going back. I was really expecting to get the call when all the other series were getting the call to go back to Charlotte. That's what I was expecting to race, but not sure what's going to happen. I'm hoping we'll go racing about the same time, but I don't know. Maybe we'll still get the call for Charlotte. Who knows? But yeah, everything was really ramping up. We were only two races in to my schedule, but you know, I really enjoyed working with the team. Everything's been flowing really nicely. And then, you know, we're only two races in, so it seems like we're not that far in, but there's also been a lot of stuff going on outside the track, like working out at the Toyota gym. They've given us good resources there to really get us prepared, getting ready for those races that we had. And then also I like to go to the shop usually about every day of the week, just to kind of check in, try to help out a little bit. And that's another thing, like there's been so much work going on building cars and getting cars prepared. And then to just get that stopped is tough. You know, you're only two races in, but it feels like you're a lot farther in.
Absolutely.
And the momentum's rolling. So,
you know, it's one thing come, you know, I think you guys end what, mid-October or something like that. You know, you expect that off season there. It's another one when one's forced upon you. So that's got to be weird for you as a driver, for the team, you know, especially when they can't even in the off season, you know, they can at least go and work. They weren't even able to go and work on the cars, you know. You mentioned the Toyota gym and all that kind of stuff. You mentioned at the start iRacing. So talk a little bit about your iRacing background. Are you using that to kind of keep your mind fresh? Are you racing at tracks that you might race at? You know, how are you using iRacing to your advantage?
Yeah, on iRacing, I've just been trying to get a mix of everything. Been running some of the official races just to try to keep you sharp with kind of your reflexes. I think I look at it that way more than anything else. Just kind of keep you just keeping you sharp and using the same kind of muscles, I guess, you would use inside the car and thinking the same way is the main thing. Just the mental side, I think, is the biggest thing you get from iRacing. And then also definitely running some of the tracks I'll see later this year. It's kind of difficult with the ARCA series the difficult part about the ARCA series is that you run all these different tracks that aren't on iRacing, you know, you can't run them on iRacing. There's not many races to go watch, you know, like the dirt races and the dirt races ARCA runs, the short track races ARCA runs. Those are kind of hard races to prepare for. Because you don't have that track on something like iRacing, so that's something that is hard to prepare for. But other than that, there's a lot of tracks you can run on iRacing to kind of get a good idea of the tracks that you're going to see in real life.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, the one cool thing I think with this whole iRacing thing that, you know, we've been able to kind of get like a personal tour into some of the drivers' homes and their rigs. You know, we've got guys like you know, Timmy Hill, that's basically racing off a wheel and pedals attached to his computer monitor, and then we got Denny Hamlin with his, you know, triple screen rig, you know, kind of thing. So what kind of iRacing setup does Drew have?
I actually have the same company as Denny Hamlin does, the SimCraft rig. Apex 3, I think, is what it is, and it's like the three axis of motion. So I'm fortunate to have a pretty nice one.
Yeah, you're pretty hooked up.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that was something that when I was starting in the legend cars, that's something that we went ahead and got. Just it's helped me get a lot more experience in a shorter amount of time, I feel like, and it's definitely helped me, I feel, get up to speed faster than I would have otherwise.
It's an investment opportunity to help propel you is kind of how I would view that from you being a driver, right? Like if I were to go and get one, you know, as an amateur fan, you know, just, you know, it's entertainment. But from you, that's an investment opportunity that could help your career, right?
I think so. And it's really all that you put into it. I think you can go on iRacing and mess around and it's going to be worth nothing. But if you do go on iRacing and take it seriously and focus, then that is something that's going to help you. Just even the focus, if I get on there for 2 hours a day, which a lot of time, like I wasn't on iRacing today, but sometimes I'll get on, might be on for 2 hours a day. If I can focus for 2 hours a day on, you know, driving a car around the track, it's kind of working the same brain muscles that you'd be working inside the car, and just that keeping focusing through that
absolutely
through those hours. So, yeah.
Well, you know, and if you think about it from like a stick and balls perspective, you know, pitchers, you know, they go out there and they'll, you know, actually go out there and pitch, you know, simulated games and warm themselves up to get to that level in the offseason and that sort of thing. And, you know, punters will go out there and you know, take, you know, real life snaps and all that kind of stuff, you know, and that's that's a racer's way of staying fresh without having to go spend, you know, thousands of dollars to go, you know, reserve, you know, lap time and run time trials and that kind of stuff. So I could definitely see the benefit in that.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely helped. And right now it's a lot of fun keeping me a little bit, give me something to do and not be so bored.
That's awesome. So you mentioned a little bit ago, you know, that you were able to talk with Christian about some of the tracks that you've never been to. Is there any specific track that you've never raced at that, you know, I mean, who knows what might happen this year in all this, but is there any specific track on the ARCA schedule that you are just excited to go and get to here at some point in time?
Right now, it's really any of them, but I think kind of the top ones going in this year, I'm super excited to run some of the mile and a half because I do have some short track experience from this past year, or that's really all I've done. And then I've very few starts on, I've one start on a mile and a half, so that's not much. And I'm really excited for those tracks. Obviously, I was really looking forward to Talladega, which you should have been in like last weekend or two weekends ago. So definitely those tracks, really all the tracks on the ARCA schedule I'm looking forward to. There's, you know, the short tracks that I've never seen before either, and the dirt tracks. So, and also they have some good road courses. So I'm hoping we get to go up to Watkins Glen this year as well.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I know I get to see the ARCA series a couple times a year, whether it's here at Michigan, which is awesome. There's not too many 2 mile tracks that you guys go to, and Michigan's one of those. And that's always put on a pretty good show. And Chicagoland does a really good job with the ARCA series as well there.
Definitely
hope to be able to see you guys for sure. Let's wrap it up with this, Drew. I've got Mason Diaz coming up tomorrow that I'm going to interview. What's something embarrassing that I just need to ask him?
Oh, I don't even know. And if I did, I don't know if I'd want to expose them either.
Fair enough. That's a good teammate right there. I'm going to tell him that I'm going to tell him that I asked him that, and I'm going to tell him that you're a good teammate and you said nothing. I'm going to tell him that for sure. Drew, where can everybody follow you, your sponsors at, and all that good stuff on social media?
Right. Yeah. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, both at Drew$00. That's my tag. So Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Drew, man, this was a lot of fun. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I hope you, the family, stay safe, stay healthy, and good luck whenever you guys get things back up and rolling.
Yes, sir. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Talk to you soon, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Take care. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool is that? Drew Dollar, you know, to everyone that says, you know, you got to, you know, get into the sport, you know, right out of the womb. You don't have to, you know, if you've got the talent, you know, Drew got into it basically early adolescence. And I think that's absolutely awesome that, you know, he's that example that can show you that you don't have to have, you know, the three generations of race, you know, bloodline and all that kind of stuff and can still make it happen. So that's absolutely awesome. Really enjoyed talking to him and can't wait to talk to him down the line. All right, let's get things rolling with a little social media and excited to tell you guys about some new stuff that's going on. Of course, check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. As always, on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. I broke the news on Tuesday that my, I think elder millennial, 37, right? Like 1982, I guess, depending on where you look at, that's millennial, not. I'm on TikTok. Yes, I'm on TikTok. Got a couple videos posted, toying around, having some fun with TikTok. Go follow on TikTok, Lap Traffic PC, same as Twitter. And here's where some new things are coming into play. The Lap Traffic Podcast is now on YouTube. Yes, you can go to the Lap Traffic Podcast or search the Lap Traffic Podcast, and the shows are being uploaded. The mindset behind that was, is, hey, maybe not everybody likes to listen on a podcast app or, you know, whatever it may be. But I felt like I was missing out. So all of the shows are from 2020. I'm not going back and starting, last year, whatever, like that. I'm going back, uploading 2020 shows, and current are going to go up. There's probably five or six up there already. I'm uploading them in order. So this past Tuesday, tonight's show, all that will hopefully be up some point throughout the weekend as I'll slowly keep uploading those. I think I started at 166 was the kickoff for 2020. And I think up to 171, something like that, is already uploaded. So what's that do? One, like I said, it gives people another platform to be able to listen to the show. The accounts created there. If I decide to get crazy and do something live, I'll tell you, for me personally, doing the show live wouldn't work. I just don't see how that would work for me. A lot of times I record interviews and stuff like that the day before or earlier on in the day, and I kind of drop that in. I'm not that technically savvy enough to where people could go to YouTube Live and listen into an interview live. I'm sure that's capability is possible, but that's not something that I know how to do. So from that side of things, doing the show live, I don't think that would be beneficial, but I think it is to upload. I think it would be beneficial to make announcements, maybe switch over from Periscope for the giveaways and do that on YouTube Live. So going to explore the possibilities of YouTube and see what's out there. So the Lap Traffic Podcast, go subscribe. I'll obviously use Twitter if I'm going to go out on there live to let you guys know. But that's there. The next thing that's new for social media, I said I've been busy this week, guys, audiograms. So I've been messing around and subscribed to this feature that I can take and cut audio clips from the show and put them in like short little teaser clips on social media. So you may have seen some of those float around. I've tweeted them out. I've put them on TikTok already as well. And just kind of hoping that might grab some new follower attentions. You know, there's almost 5,000 that follow. I don't have 5,000 a week listen. So, you know, if we can bridge that gap a little bit, that's what I'm trying to do. And hopefully a couple of these new things might bring some new listenership as well as followers out there. So all that's going on, and as things make sense, I'll try new stuff. So that said, as always, listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Blueberry, all that good stuff out there. Got the two giveaways going on. Got the 4,500 Twitter follower giveaway, the shirt and hat giveaway, and then got the rear quarter panel giveaway at 5,000 followers. Thanks to everyone, as always, for your retweets and all that good stuff. I really appreciate it. Stickers, koozies, all that good stuff. That's out there. All right. Let's I almost forgot. It's a good thing I turned the page, Lap Traffic Nation. I just want to remind everybody really quick about the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. If you're a member and a player, you should have gotten an email. Picks are coming in. If you've got any questions about the changes to the rules or all that, please reach out, Twitter, email, let me know. And if you want to play in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the fantasy link. All the rules are there. Not going to get into all that. So let's keep going. Aaron Studwell and I talked the other day on Tuesday's show during the weather segment there about, you know, what would it take to get you to go to a sporting event? Would you go to a sporting event under these current events? So I put that out there on Twitter. I want to read a few of your responses here. CJ LaPearl at CJ LaPearl. If New Hampshire allows it, I'll be there. If I have to wear a mask, so be it. There's nothing like being at the track. I couldn't agree with that more. At this point last year, I'd already been to a couple races, and man, do I want to smell some rubber, hear some noise, walk around. Like I need to be at a track right now more. You know, the wives, right? They all want to be on that island in the Caribbean, which, hey, don't get me wrong, I love a good week and an all inclusive. But right now I would do anything to get to the track. It is literally, I'm jonesing for the track. So I feel you, CJ. Matt, Ant Camper News. I would go as long as my state stay-at-home order is lifted and NASCAR allowed fans back at the track. Pretty simple there, right? Michigan, we just got our stay-at-home extended. It was supposed to go through the 15th. It's now through the 28th. It seems never ending. I get it. You know, there's so many different facets involved in all this. I'm not going to get it in all that, but yeah, that's the problem. And I think that's why some of the reasons we may see NASCAR schedule, while we may get 36 races in, the full circuit may not be included in all that. Obviously, already a couple tracks are going to lose a date with the fact that we're now going to be potentially going to Darlington three times, Charlotte three times, right? You know, so some of the northern states, you know, and I hate to say it, but at this point, you know, if Michigan's already going into June, basically, with the stay at home, you know, it's possible Michigan could lose their race. I hope that's not the case, but, you know, and it's just a thing that we need to come to and realize and accept for this year. And hopefully 21, we can get back to normal. Let's see. Joey at Joey_CLT. Personally, I need to wait and see how things develop over the next month or months before I'd even consider going to a big event, regardless of what precautions are taken. Severely cut attendance for social distancing, 3 to 4 seats, you know, row in between all groups, masks and all that kind of stuff. Joey, you bring up a great point there. You know, the one plus that I think NASCAR has going for it is that it's an outside sport, right? Which helps with ventilation. You know, if you were to think about, you know, a concert or a, you know, a NBA or NHL game, you know, you'd have thousands of people in one area trying to filter through into the entrance, into concourse, into the seats, you know, and, you know, concert, you know, you get a big enough or a crazy enough event, you know, how do you stop, you know, 100 people that are on the floor or, you know, however it may be from rushing the stage? Obviously going to have extra security fines and penalties that would hopefully deter such behavior. But it's definitely, you know, I personally think that the restructure that's going to have to go into play to get people back to concerts and sporting events and all that, you know, maybe a state might be ready to allow it, but the venues themselves may not be prepared. And I think some of those logistics could definitely come into play in terms of delaying the possibility of us getting to events. You know, gone might be the days of pre-race concerts and driver intros with fan involvement, garage access, infield camping, you know, and if you don't have camping, well, you know, will people make the day trip? You know, all that stuff is going to play into the new norm. You know, I was, you know, the Lions tonight, the NFL schedule comes out, which, you know, does that really mean anything to the home fans? You know, are we going to even be able to go to an NFL game this season? You know, they're probably, if they do, are going to give priority to season ticket holders. You know, I've had my season tickets for a couple years, you know. So would I get bumped and have to move my spot because they've got to space things out and someone with longer tenure, you know, wants to get my seat sort of thing? You know, there are so many facets at play here that's probably going to space that out a little bit. And it's going to be real interesting to see what it takes to get fans back into close, tight-knit areas like racetracks and stadiums. So have to see how that plays along. And thank you to everyone that submitted your responses and all that good stuff. Cannot wait to get more of your feedback as things get back to normal here and we get rolling here at Darlington. All right, let's keep going here. Let's get Mason Diaz on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver, the number 25 with Venturini Motorsports. He's raced karts, late models, super late models, and currently running in the ARCA East. Oh, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Mason Diaz. Sir, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. Hopefully you're doing well, staying safe during this interesting time we're going right now.
I'm enjoying my crazy.
Go ahead.
It's been a crazy time.
This is a well off, never seen before. This is weird. I'm back home from college, working full time with my dad's company, which is a sign shop, so we're deemed essential. And then constantly doing what I need to do for racing, working out, staying healthy, trying to stay safe myself, and of course, everyone knows iRacing.
Sure. Yeah. No, man. Let's get into all that. Let's, you know, so you mentioned, you know, college and all that kind of stuff. What, you know, how was the end of the semester and all that kind of stuff? Social distancing at college and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's been weird. They definitely switched to, you know, how most colleges, I go to Old Dominion University, and most colleges, they offer online courses, but now they had to switch every single course they had to an online version. And so every class is different. And some professors I know, I had one that you had to write a 10-page paper, and that's your rest of your grade for the rest of the semester. Which some and other teachers are, you have homework due every Tuesday, Thursday, and still tests and quizzes on top of it. So some classes actually became somewhat easier, and some classes became terrible. I'm a business management class, and so luckily most of my classes are online. They're not really so much in class, like science majors and stuff like that.
Sure.
But that helped me out. But then this semester for me actually worked out a little bit better. It became a little bit easier, but you still get to be on top of your stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so I, complete side story here. So I taught 3 years at a local university here in Metro Detroit, and I did both online courses and in-person courses. And it's funny just how, you know, I'm younger, but, you know, so I'm 37, you know, so I did this 33 to 36. And, you know, obviously most of your professors right there, you know, as old as dirt, and trying to get some of these older professors to adapt to either doing mixed courses online and in person or full online. They want nothing of it. So I could imagine that's where maybe some of those 10-page papers came into play there.
Yeah, it's definitely hard because most of my professors, I have one class that he puts out probably about, it's over with now. I have one more final, I'm done for the semester. But he put up like 10 videos of each week, and he has a huge accent, and it's very hard to understand him.
Sure.
In person, and it's even worse over camera. So I'm like, this is bad. This is rough. You're trying to figure out what to do. I'm like, I don't know what he's saying, so we're just going to text the best.
That's funny. Well, hey, man, before we really get rolling here, happy early birthday. Your birthday's next Friday. So I hope you're able to celebrate with some Zoom calls with some friends and all that good stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. May 16th come around the corner. It's very, very fast. I wasn't expecting it to be in a quarantine. I was hoping to be at Toledo racing the ARCA series. But a little change of pace. We'll be home for the weekend, maybe. We have a lake house, Lake Gaston. So I might head down to Lake Gaston instead, but we'll be home enjoying it. I'm not sure I'd be at a racetrack, hopefully collecting checkers, but
hell yeah.
We got to do what we got to do here and stay safe. So we got to be home, I guess.
Absolutely. So listen, man, you know, I hit a few of the rides that that you've been in the intro there, but you've basically been racing right out of diapers, it seems like. Tell everyone a little bit about your background growing up in Virginia, your racing career, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, let's see here. I started racing go-karts when I was four, almost five. So late 4 years old. So almost five, I started racing. And I raced at Old Dominion Speedway, which is up here in Manassas, Virginia. It's really about 15 minutes away from my house. But started racing karts there. And I raced kid karts, and I went to champ karts. I never raced flat karts. And then I went to Bandoleros. Started racing at Old Dominion Speedway in Bandoleros, and then we started moving down to North Carolina, and so I live in Virginia still, but we switched racing in North Carolina, basically. And so I raced Bandoleros until I was 12 years old, and I hopped to a Legend car, which I didn't race until I was actually 14. So I made my first Plymouth Mall start when I was 12, 13 years old, and then I hopped in Legend cars for a season, and then I hopped in a Prolate model in 2016, finished second in the points against Colt James at Southern National Motorsports Park. And in 2017, I got into a late model stock, ran a full season, got Florida Rookie of the Year, North Carolina Rookie of the Year, track championship at Southern National Motorsports Park, and like 10 to 12 wins. It was a crazy year, and slowly just going up the ranks, been racing supers in and out of there. I have a truck start at Martinsville. I have four Trinity starts, three being at Richmond and one being at Charlotte.
That's awesome, man. That's crazy. You mentioned Richmond. I went to Richmond for the first time last year. Such a beautiful, historic area. I'd never been there before. I stayed with some friends in Mechanicsville, which I think is about an hour or so from you there. Are you familiar with Mechanicsville?
Yeah, I've heard of Mechanicsville. I've actually never been personally. I know exactly. It's probably about an hour, 15 minutes away from here. It's not. I've heard it's really nice. It's a cool place to go to. But, I mean, I also live 30 miles south of D.C., and I can tell you I've probably been to 4 museums, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those things, you live behind them, but you never actually go to them because you live here. You don't really
go to those
things,
that.
I guess. I don't know.
So racing your whole life, man, like, you know, family and racing at all, or was it just something that you kind of developed the itch for on your own there a little bit?
My dad raced. He started racing, I think, in 04, 05, which it started weird for him. His racing was not in my family at all. One of his employees at the sign shop raced road course, and then he did track days with his regular car.
Okay.
And they actually went to Watkins Glen to do a test day. And he saw legend cars there, and next day he bought a legend car because he loved them. And then he raced those, and then baby grands a little bit. He hopped in the late model stock a few times, but then he mainly focused on road course, and he raced legend cars and road course and finished. He never actually won the championship in INX for road course, but he finished second, I think, like 4 or 5 times.
That's so cool.
Which
that's awesome.
I think that's where I get the second place thing from, but we'll leave that one aside.
The bridesmaid, never the bride, right?
Yep, never fall that far from the tree. But he raced, and then I just carried almost it. I tried T-ball. I played soccer in high school, and I played soccer basically when I was growing up the entire time. My Saturdays were go to soccer game in the morning and then go to the racetrack and miss practice, qualify, and race in the evening when I race bandas. I did BMX for a while, but then it just got too chaotic on my Saturdays and running back and forth in places and focusing on stuff. So my main goal, I decided to be racing. And so we carried on with the racing rather than BMX, soccer, any other sports.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. And so I want to get to this here in a minute. But before I get to your teammate, because I think you have a unique comparison there with him. Talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned all these different series. You've got a couple Xfinity starts. You got the truck start. What's been the hardest style of car to drive and get an adjustment to with all the different ones you've run?
I would say the Xfinity car was the most with the package. Just because it has such a small spoiler and downforce on it.
Sure.
When it comes to the truck, I ran at Martinsville. So Martinsville, you know, it's just I raced late model stocks at Martinsville a couple years prior than that. So I had plenty of laps around there. The hardest part about that race was just the first time I hopped a truck was when I went to go race practice, you know, to try to make the show. That's what made it difficult. Same with Xfinity car. I didn't have any rookie practices or anything, so my first time in the car was going pit road for first practice for
that's
like
nuts.
Everyone else. So that's how my first ones went. But I would definitely say the Xfinity car at Charlotte was the hardest one. Richmond was somewhat easier just because it was a smaller track. But Charlotte, it definitely showed how much you have to trust the air and really understand the dynamics of what's going on because you're going fast. Compared to Richmond, where you're only going about 130, it's used to, you know, normal short track kind of thing.
Sure, sure. I'm with you there. Mason, talk a little bit about Venturini Motorsports. How'd you get hooked up with those guys? You know, Venturini's, they've got a stacked roster this year. They always have a stacked roster. You know, talk a little bit about that, your relationship with some of the teammates and all that.
Oh, so we started last year. My dad owns a couple ARCA cars. And we went back then it was called K&N East. So sure. We raced K&N East. I raced New Smyrna, and I was going to finish probably top 5, but we ran out of gas, sadly. It was a new car to us, and so I guess it didn't hold all the 22 gallons that it was needed or 18 gallons that was needed. So we ran out of gas there. We had a good finish there. And then South Boston, we tried, and then we went to Bristol. And towards the end of the season, we actually used Venturini's pull down rig to set our cars up. And so we got a connection via that. And we finished 4th at Bristol with Kevin Reed Jr. helping us. And so that kind of put a foot through the door with Venturini. And it turned into, we were racing last year at the Snowball Derby. I was racing the Snowflake 100. And it was qualifying night for the Snowflake or the Derby. And Billy came over and said, I actually never met you guys. Here's what's going on. And he laid down the details. So it was fast.
That's crazy.
I think we talked about it Friday, and next Tuesday we were I was flying to PRI to tell about sign a deal.
That's so awesome, man. Congratulations. That's great when stuff like that can come together on the fly like that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. I wasn't ready for it at all. Definitely. I mean, that weekend was good. Except we didn't have a good finishing spot, sadly. But we were top of the charts all weekend, and sadly it turned south in the race. But it was a great overall weekend, definitely for setting up for this year.
That's very cool. Well, listen, so I mentioned to you before we got started here that I had Drew Dollar on, and he's going to be on with you with the bonus show here. And I asked, every once in a while, I get a couple guys from the same team on the show at the same time. And depending on who goes first or who I talk to first, you know, just have a little fun, you know, I asked them to ask to give me an embarrassing question to ask the other guy. And I got to let you know, man, you have a real solid teammate in Drew Dollar, because I go, give me a question I should ask Mason. And he goes, well, listen, man, even if I had one, I wouldn't do it to him. So you got a solid teammate in Drew Dollar. He did not want to embarrass you.
Well, that's nice of him. I think I do a good enough job of that on my own to embarrass myself. So at least he understands that I do a good enough job of myself to embarrass myself. I think I do that quite a bit, but I appreciate that from Drew.
That's awesome.
Put that on the back of the head. I'll remember that one.
Yes, for sure. So listen, you got one race in this year at New Smyrna. You know, unfortunately, not sure when the ARCA series itself is going to fire back off here. How do you keep things fresh at all? Are you doing iRacing? You know, what are you doing to stay fresh right now?
I'm iRacing, mainly working out, working on my nutrition. So it's hard now more for the nutrition stuff because we are at home and eating.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really to do. I mean, it's like, I compare it to rain delays at racetracks. Rain delays at racetracks, all you do is eat calories. And so when you're sitting at home all day, I mean, you're stuck. What are you supposed to do? But working out, trying my best to work out, and working every day at my dad's shop is helping me stay busy. iRacing a lot. I'm going to think four leagues. Just trying to say, even though it's not real life, it's very close. It's a very close simulation of real life. At least it gets my attitude in the race car still the same, because we still want to win, whatnot. It's iRacing or if it's real life. It's sure. No different. It's all real life at some point. And getting our heartbeats and putting ourselves in those positions of winning races in iRacing is just as good as being in real life.
Sure.
Sadly, it's not real life.
Yeah. So like when you're doing your iRate, you said you're in four leagues there. Are they in leagues to where you got to take a few hours to get the car set up, or are you running, you know, kind of like what they're doing for the Pro Invitational on Sunday, where you just got to run basically what they give you kind of thing?
I run all six leagues.
Okay.
Sadly, during the week with working, because I work honestly all day. I get up at 7, I go to work, and I leave work around 6-ish. So, I mean, that doesn't leave me a lot of time to go home and work on setups.
Sure, for iRacing, right?
Yeah. The first few weeks of this quarantine, I iRaced every day, and it was every night, and I wore myself out because I needed to come work, and I got home and I iRaced for 12 hours.
Sure.
And, like, I got a couple hours of sleep, and I just wore myself down. And I'm one that when I get playing video games that I'll get hooked in a video game and then I slowly die off to it, and it's like, well, I don't really need to do that anymore. And then if it hit me again, I'll play it constantly, and then I'll just die off for another month. Be like, okay, I'm good with it now.
I'm with you there.
Whenever someone gets you angry, you're like, I'm done with it for a while, and you come back to it.
I got NASCAR Heat and Madden. Those are like my two go-tos on PS4. And I had sold...
Oh, you're PS4.
What'd you say?
You're PS4.
Yeah, I'm a I've been a PS guy, man.
Good.
Yep. And I had sold mine at one point to my cousin because he didn't have what he wanted it, so I sold it to him. Like, you know, I haven't played it in probably 6 months. I don't see me playing it anytime soon. And then the wife and I we bought a new house and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sitting here bored. So literally one afternoon, I drove to the store and I bought a new one. I'm like, there's going to be a PS5 coming out here in November, but I don't give a shit. I need a new one. I'm going.
Yeah, you're bored.
Yes. And so, like you said, I Man, I started a personal career. I ran two truck full seasons, an Xfinity full season, and now I'm on like my second Cup full season, all in like the last 3 months on that thing. And I haven't played it in 3 weeks though. So, and you would think I would now during the
quarantine. Burnt out.
Yeah, exactly.
You're burnt out.
Yep.
Yeah. You can only do so much, sadly, on video games. You only do so much. iRacing is a little different just because you can race against different people and change everything. There's so many different tracks and cars and all the above. But, like, it's still at some point, it's like, I can go do something else right now.
100%. Yep. And especially up here in Michigan, like, the weather has just started breaking back and forth here a little bit. Like, this past weekend, it was 75 and picture perfect. So, been outside doing stuff around the house. And, you know, now it's Tuesday night and it's, you know, 45 degrees outside again, you know. So, trying to take advantage of it, you know.
We're fighting rain. It's like, last week was all rain. And Saturday here was beautiful. And then Saturday evening into Sunday morning, it rained again. So it's like, can't do yard work today or right. do anything like that because the ground's too wet. And it'll be sunny the next day, and then we'll find rain again. It's like, okay, pick and choose here. We can rain for a week or be sunny for a week.
Sure.
Don't be changing back and forth.
I hear you.
Don't be giving us little keys of sun and then right back to rain, which it's been doing that for weeks.
Yep. So listen, man, any talk of, you know, I know they really don't know when they're going to go back racing, but like, will it depend on what track they may go to know when you might get back into a car?
I do not know. I just know that they're planning on running the full season right now.
Sure.
Definitely, they haven't put the idea out of play yet of racing without fans. But we all know that the tracks need the money from fans to keep running. So I see us, if we do go back racing ARCA, that it will be to the bigger NASCAR tracks rather than the short tracks.
Sure.
That's my guess. That's my play on it. My family actually owns and operates Southern National Motorsports Park down here in North Carolina.
Oh, sweet.
So I'm very hands-on with that. So I hear the minor things from NASCAR that they tell the short tracks. And right now, everything's shut down just because of this virus. So they don't want to open up points or anything for NASCAR until everything's equal. You know, you're not going to open up them on East Coast, so West Coast is still shut down. It's just a terrible situation right now. And honestly, there's no right move to fix it because we can go back racing tomorrow, but then what's going
to
happen?
Sure. Yeah. You could have to shut back down in 6 weeks. Yeah.
Correct. We don't know.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm with you there. 100%.
What's been going on in Michigan? Like next, I think May 14th, we go into what they're calling phase one, which I think it's restaurants. Everything can start eating. You can eat there again. It's only like 25% of capacity, and we're slowly going to open stuff up, I think, next week.
So
what about Michigan?
We are on a full lockdown quarantine kind of thing until the 15th. They've gone as far as saying that restaurants, casinos, bars, all that kind of stuff, they're open for carryout only. That's going to be at least until the end of May that those are going to be closed and all that kind of stuff. They just opened up the lawn and gardening sections at Home Depot and Lowe's were closed up until this past weekend. They just slowly started opening that back up. Michigan got hit really hard.
Lowe's and Home Depot, they never shut down around here. Restaurants shut down, but they were always carry out or take out.
Yeah. Well, Lowe's and that, they were open, but only for essential items like, you know, plumber, you know, contractors and stuff like that could go in there. But like they weren't mixing paint and stuff like that for, you know, Johnny on the spot to go in and buy paint to paint his house because he's sitting
at
home.
That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had certain things shut down. You know, we're slowly starting to get back. They're planning on doing some type of phasing thing, but they haven't really even rolled that out. They opened up golf courses this past weekend. No carts. You could walk I think they even limited it to only two at a tee box at a time kind of thing. Like, it's been pretty strict up here.
Yeah, that sounds very strict.
Yeah.
I bet everyone's dying to get out of the house.
We
which that's everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Hey, Mace, is there any particular track that you mentioned ARCA's, you know, might be hitting just some of the bigger NASCAR tracks? Is there any track that you have not raced at that you are excited to get to for the first time in this series?
I'm looking forward to Dover.
Oh, yeah. Big concrete
mile,
man.
I love I love Bristol, and everyone says if you like Bristol, you're going to like Dover. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to Dover. Awesome. We were going to plan on it last year, but it just didn't work out properly for us to go run it. So hopefully we get back going here. We can go run Dover.
That's awesome.
Definitely looking forward to that beast.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. I like that. That's I tell you, that was not what I was expecting. I was expecting, you know, like a Michigan, Chicagoland, something like that, just because.
I don't race those.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're ARCA East.
I'm only East. The schedule was originally, it was going to be New Smyrna, and then we went to Five Flags.
Okay.
And then, if I remember correctly, we were going to go right to Bristol April 4th, and Toledo May 16th, and then Berlin in July or June. July was off, and then we had Dover and New Hampshire.
Okay.
So yeah, I keep forgetting. I only had New Hampshire and Dover and Bristol there for NASCAR tracks.
Gotcha. I love it. Mason, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
Mason Diaz Racing on Twitter and Facebook. Mason Diaz on Instagram. On Instagram, it has everything showing. Same with all my pages are back and forth. MasonDiazRacing.com. Definitely check me out on there. Posted a lot here recently. Been doing some interesting things with helping out, donating stuff to hospitals and stuff. Been posted about that stuff. Definitely trying to stay afloat and stay positive manner during this interesting time. But definitely, I just want to real fast thank Toyota, Venturini Motorsports, Solid Rock Carriers. Solid Rock Carriers have been on my car here for a few years now. Pennsylvania Marina, the sign shop. Everyone so far that's been through my season, definitely everyone at Venturini Motorsports working hard even during this quarantine now. I think they started back working Monday due to North Carolina deeming them essential now. So they're back in the shop, and I'm eager to get back in the shop once they allow us to get drivers to get back to the shop. So
that's
looking
awesome.
Forward to it.
That's awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Mason Diaz for calling in on the show tonight. Mason, it was a blast. I really enjoyed it. Stay safe, stay healthy. Good luck in school. Good luck this season. And definitely look forward to talking to you again here soon, man.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
I appreciate
nice talking
it.
With you.
Yeah, you too. We'll talk to you later. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Mason Diaz right there. You can hear it right there between Drew, Mason, different backgrounds, both now at Venturini Motorsports, and so excited to see how their careers are going to shape. Can't wait to watch that. Hope to get to go to an ARCA race. Normally, you'd be able to go to the June ARCA race at minimum. Really hope I get to see those guys race. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for this bonus episode 181 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, on Twitter at LapTrafficPC, on TikTok. Go subscribe on YouTube. Download the show. Subscribe. Leave some comments. All that good stuff. Big thanks to Drew Dollar, Mason Diaz for calling into the show. Next week, a double weather segment with Brian and Aaron as we get things rolling again, and MRN's own Jeff Striegel. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!